What you're about to listen to has the power to completely change your life, taking you from where you might currently find yourself to where you ought to be. This is the Word of God coming to you from Christ Family Ministry.
You're awesome. You're good, and your mercy endures forever. Thank you for your love, for your kindness. You're a great God. You're a great King. We speak over our country. Thank you because Nigeria is blessed. Thank you because Benue is blessed. Boko is blessed. Thank you because your eyes are upon us. Thank you because this nation is one great nation under you. Thank you for your plans and your purposes concerning this country. We see every one of them coming to pass. Thank you because your kingdom is established in the lives of men. It is prevailing. It is changing the face of this nation. We pray for those in leadership. We ask that your mighty presence rest upon them, that your wisdom will flow through them, that, Lord, they will propagate policies and put up structures that will favor the cause of the gospel. We say no to every plan and purpose of the enemy upon our land. And we declare that only your purpose will stand and will prevail. In the name of Jesus. Thank you because of the developments that are springing forth on every side. Thank you, Lord, for industries that are popping off. Thank you because your children are rising up with your wisdom and they are establishing your purpose, even in the lives of people. We give you praise. Thank you for good government under which the gospel runs freely. We say be exalted. And thank you for this morning. Our hearts are open to receive from you. We're expectant. Be magnified. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. God's people say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Be seated. Good morning. And it's a beautiful Sunday morning here in Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. And I'm so excited. It's a joy and honor to be able to bring God's word to you this morning. And this is our Connect to Life service. And I know one word from God will change your life. Forever. You know, it rained here, so the weather has just been wonderful. Hallelujah. So wherever you are, I want you to know that we are excited that you could connect with us from all over the world. Wherever you're watching from, we would like you to come and let us know where you're watching from. It would be an honor and a joy to connect with you in the days ahead. Christ Family Center is a church without walls. There might be a lockdown, but the gospel is not locked down. The word of God is running freely. And it's a joy that we can connect on these platforms to be able to fellowship together. Amen. So we thank God for technology. We thank God for all the people who are working behind the scenes to help us stay connected and to fellowship around the word of God. And I know that today God's word is going to leave you changed forever. Are you ready for God's word this morning? And by the way, I'm Pastor Metukula. I'm the senior pastor of Christ Family Center. And I'm a cool guy. Amen. So praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. You know, the last 2 days, some prophecies have been coming to my heart. In fact, a particular prophecy, even this morning when I woke up, I was sharing it with Pastor Avisi. A prophecy by Papa Hagin. The last prophecy that Papa Hagin, you know, what God said through him. Some of you know Kenneth E. Hagin, great prophet of God and a great man of God, who's been a blessing to lots of us myself in particular. And there was this prophecy that he gave, amen. And the last 2 days I've been looking at it and thinking about it. It's been so strong in my heart. So in the early hours of the morning, I woke up with it on my heart again. And I was going through that prophecy. And I'm going to read portions of that prophecy as I go into today's teaching. Are we together? We're still talking about going pro. About go pro, and today I'll be focusing on innovating by the Spirit. You know, he said, this was in 1997, February 20. He said, speaking by the Spirit, not just speaking words out of your own mind or thinking. He said, but speaking by the Spirit, words that are inspired by the Spirit of God. Words that well up from within you out of your spirit, given to you by the Holy Spirit. These words, spoken boldly, bring forth great happenings. Speaking by the Spirit, and so the glory of God shall come into manifestation. And some will see it like a cloud that hangs over the heads of the people. Others may not see anything, but they sense the mighty move of His Spirit. Speaking by His Spirit, yielding your tongue unto the Holy Ghost. But you see, taking time to pray in the Spirit, taking time to pray in other tongues will get you tuned up, will edify you and get your tongue hooked up to your spirit, so that when He who dwells in your spirit can give you utterance, then He takes over. And you speak out what He says, not what you think. Speak out what He wants. Hallelujah. And so the spirit of seeing and the spirit of knowing, hear this, into a greater manifestation shall come. But all of these, all nine of these manifestations, all of these worketh that one in the same spirit. And at the same time, the inspirational gifts, men, women, speaking by the Spirit, by prophecy, inspired utterance, by tongues and interpretations, shall bring forth marvelous statements and bring to pass and bring into being in this sense realm where men can see and know the operation of the Spirit of God and the manifestation of the Spirit of God and the demonstration of the Spirit of God. So rejoice ye and be glad. Then, I just want to skip to some other parts of the prophecy. Glory to God. He says, in your spirit are the bottomless things of God. Thank you, Father, for leading us to that place where our most holy emotions reign. Thank you for the life we have in you. This is what a good life that is. What a privilege. Thank you, Father, for the sweet smell of your presence. You know, if you read this whole prophecy in its entirety, one of the things that, you know, the Spirit of God was putting in my heart and reminding me as I went back to this prophecy is the need to be conscious of our partnership and participation with the Holy Ghost, especially in the times that we find ourselves. How many of you know that Christianity is not a religion? Christianity is a life. It's spiritual. That which is born of the Spirit, the Bible says, is what? It's spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. We are born of the Spirit. The supernatural realm is our natural domain. You see, but the truth is that most believers, you know, in the course of this whole thing, if you've been on social media, you've been on television, lots of people are saying different things, both in Christian circles and outside Christian circles. Life is not going to remain the same. You know, what is going to happen? And people are asking. As a matter of fact, there's a portion of the prophecy where the Spirit of God through Papa Hagin was saying that many are asking, what is in the future for us? And he said, we don't need to be afraid of the future, that we are a word church, but we also need to be a what? A spirit church. Because the Spirit knows the what? Knows the future. And why this prophecy was coming to my heart is because as Christians, we need to be more conscious. Are we following? We need to be more conscious of the person of the Holy Spirit. Not just the emotion of the Holy Spirit, not just the routine that we go through. Are you getting me? Of the consciousness that, look, the Holy Spirit dwells in us and we have supernatural advantage over some of the things that we are hearing in the media. Are you with me? And the people that are seemingly preferring solutions. You see, because in moments like this, everybody wants to know what to do. Everybody wants to know, yes, it's good to be prepared. It's good to be ready for the wave of God's Spirit. But at the same time, how many of you know the way we surf the waves of this event, the way we surf it is by being in communion with who? With the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that helps us navigate these times, and He's the one that puts us in vantage positions for the future. Are we following now? So the Holy Spirit is God with us here on earth. I didn't hear you say amen.
Amen.
Now, by way of text, I want to read John 16. John chapter 16. How can we innovate by the Spirit? We should be innovating. Listen, because these are our greatest moments. Few weeks ago, I woke up in the night and the Spirit of God said to me that, you know, that after every famine, there's a supernatural wealth transfer. After every famine, there's always something spectacular that happens. After every epidemic, are you getting me? There's always an after effect for the church. And if you notice, if you study, like I told you, I think some couple of weeks ago, is that even in natural events, it's been documented that after the kind of situation that the world is experiencing right now, they are basically setting things that marks the end of it, or the after effect of it. One, they say it could be a riot, it could be revolution, I agree. And another is revival. And I said, I key into it. There's going to be a revival. And there's already a revival. That means there are going to be spiritual truths that are awakened. Things that we have always known before, but it's going to come to us in greater light, in greater dimension. We're going to produce more results. Are you with me? It's our finest moment. And I see the church in great influence. No, you didn't hear me. I'm saying, I see the church in great influence. Because God is, we can't be lower than where we used to be. Scripture says the part of a just man shines brighter and brighter until a perfect day. And I see God raising us into places of prominence, into places of positions where the gospel can be positively, you know, propagated, and lives will be influenced. But as a church, we must learn to innovate. And there's been a lot of talk about innovation, But how do we innovate as Christians? Are you getting me? How do we innovate as Christians? How do we position ourselves to be frontliners and to be leaders in the scheme of event and the things that are happening right now? John chapter 16. The Bible says in verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all what? All truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Underline your Bible. He will tell you things to come. This is how Jesus introduced the Holy Spirit. He introduced him as the Spirit of what? As the Spirit of truth. Now, truth there is not talking about doctrine. He's not saying he will tell us. You know, because most times when we read our scripture, we interpret in terms of doctrine. Say, he's not saying he'll teach you doctrine. Nothing wrong with doctrine, but he's not going to teach us, is this what this is, or is that what this? No, no, no. He's talking about teaching us realities. He will be opening our eyes to see the realities, to understand concepts. Are you with me? To understand in clear perspective the things that God has in his mind for us. That means others will be looking at things and be judging from his physical standpoint, but you will know the truth, because the word truth means reality. Are you getting me? You will know exactly what is happening. So he's the Spirit of truth. He introduces him as one who guides us. And that means we can never be confused in life. He also introduces him as one who speaks. So he's not dumb, like some suppose. No. He's a speaking spirit. The Bible says he will not speak on his own authority. He will speak the exact precise mind of God, so that we are not left in the dark as to what the plans and purposes of God are. That means he will speak on God's authority. Whatever he hears God is what he says. So what the Spirit of God says will be in line with the authority of scriptures. It will be in line with what God is saying. It will be in line with God's plans and purpose. Then he says he will tell you things to come. And that's the part I love. Because the greater confusion that people are struggling with is because they don't know what the future holds. But we know the one who knows the future. He's the person of the Holy Ghost. He knows where we're headed. Often I've been asked, people have called and say, Pastor, what's going to happen after this? I said, I don't know, but I know from scriptures that we're going to shine brighter. Amen. Than we have ever, amen, been shining. We're going to break new frontiers. We're going to move into new territories. We cannot remain the same again. Somebody say, why? Scripture says it in very clear terms. The path of a just man is like a shining light. It shines brighter and brighter as unto what? A perfect day. I know the mistake people, believers sometimes make, is when we begin to talk about spiritual things like this, they say, no, come to reality. There is no true reality without the Holy Ghost. Because things are not the way they seem. Things are not the way they appear. The Holy Spirit knows things you don't know. The Holy Spirit knows, he sees things you don't see. He sees things that our human perception, our human senses will not be able to access. Because all the conclusions we draw are basically based on the things we can either see, things we can feel, things we can touch, things we can hear, taste, or things that other people have told us. But the Holy Spirit knows. That is why you can't put your total trust on a man who doesn't know tomorrow like you. The man who is talking, the experts, like we say. I don't have a problem with experts. But the experts can only speak based on their permutations. They can speak based on the patterns and the sequences that they followed and the things they've seen. But they can't tell you exactly what tomorrow is. How many of you have heard nobody knows tomorrow? The truth is that no natural man knows tomorrow. But the man who is born again has a supernatural advantage over the natural man. He has the Holy Ghost who knows tomorrow. Amen. And don't be afraid. The Holy Spirit is intelligent. He's an intelligent being. The Holy Spirit is innovative. And don't be deceived. The Holy Spirit is not a cake. The Holy Spirit is not old. Sometimes when we sing songs like Ancient of Days, as old as you are, you will never change. You know, we must put it in perspective. We are not saying that he's one old spirit. Are you getting me? Like a Chinese monk. No. We are not saying he's one old spirit that is out of touch with reality. You know, sometimes when we begin to say, look, be led of God's Spirit, you know what people think? Some people come under this impression that people who are led of God's Spirit are people who don't know current trends. Listen, there's nothing that is trending on earth that has not first trended in the realm of the Spirit. You know, some years ago, I read the book Angels on Assignment by, there were angelic experiences that the pastor, had. And the book was put together by Charles and Francis Hunter. And in that book, you know, I think I read that book in 1996. In that book, the man had been having experiences with angelic encounters. Angels would come and talk with him. Sometimes they would spend hours talking to him. And when he goes out to share with people, people thought he was weird. They felt some of the things he was saying was, you know, he was hallucinating. But I think he chronicled them, he documented them, and the hunters saw it, and someone helped them gain access to those manuscripts. And then, when they began to read through those things, I listened. This man, I think those experiences were in the 40s. And some of the things the man was saying were things that began to happen in the 80s and in the 90s. But you know, at that time, it didn't look like those things were feasible. They didn't look possible. He was speaking of computers. He was speaking of people having wireless phones. And he said angels had wireless phones. And at the time he was having this visitation, nobody even thought there could ever be wireless phones. And he talked about how angels used to dress. And that's what made it even worse for people to believe, because he said you will see these angels wear baggy shorts, you know. And you know, someone was saying, what kind of angel wears baggy shorts? And their shorts will have pockets. And he said, sometimes they will even tie their hair. They said, no, you can't be seeing angels. But you see, years later, it became the fashion. It became the trend. People were wearing boots. People were wearing shorts, were wearing combat trousers. Are you getting me? Those were the things he was seeing, but he couldn't explain it in those times. Those were visitations of angels. And one of the things, you know, you will see from that book is that the realm of the spiritual is 40, 50 years at least faster than the natural realm that we live in. Meaning that even though they are talking about 4G, 5G, the realm of the spirit have left 4G, 5G. Are you getting me? So the realm of the spirit is a real realm that controls this physical realm that we see ourselves in. So when the Spirit of God is speaking, he's not speaking from this natural realm. He's speaking from a higher realm. And when you get born again, listen now, the advantage you have is that you have access not to just natural physical information. You have access to what? To spiritual information that can put you ahead. Are we ready? The Bible says in the book of Mark, let's go there. Mark chapter 2. Look at the miracles of God. I mean, if you agree with me. Look at the miracles of God. You know that God is innovative. He will not do one thing the same way. That means God invents the ways in which he does his thing. He opened two different seas, two different ways. So God is intelligent. God is creative. Are you with me? He created this whole world. He can recreate your business. He can recreate your family. He can recreate your career. Do you get me now? So the Bible says in Mark chapter 2, yeah, put it up on the screen for me. Mark chapter 2, verse 21. The Bible says, no one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, or else the new piece pulls away from the old and the tear is made worse. Next verse. And no one puts new wine into old wine skins, or else the new wine bust the wineskins. The wine is spilled and the wineskins are ruined. But new wine must be what? Put into new wineskins. You know, when the Spirit of God lifted this scripture in my heart, I began to think, do you know you can't execute God's current plans based on old patterns? You know, one of the frustrations with church is that there are lots of new things that the Spirit of God is bringing. A lot of new things he's saying, but we are caught up sometimes in the routine of programs. This is how we did it last year. This is how we did it the other time. This is how we must do it this year. You know, I was praying this year and thinking about Faith Adventure. And at the beginning of the year, I was asking God what Faith Adventure is going to look like. And you know, some of the things God started putting in my heart concerning Faith Adventure is totally different from how we've always done it. But sometimes you can be trapped in that place of, no, this is how it has always been. This is how it will always be. When you begin to think like that, it means you have taken a driver's position and you've allowed the Holy Ghost to sit in the passenger's corner. But it shouldn't be like that. Your life will be a lot easier if you allow the Holy Ghost to take the driver's position and then you sit with him and have a good ride. And God told me, he said, look, Aaron, don't be caught in programs. Don't be caught in programs. Just because it was done, that served its purpose last year. This year's Faith Adventure, this is how I want it to be. And listen to me, that's how it's going to be. That's how he wants it. Yes, sir, I'm not arguing. And it's as we yield to the innovations of the Spirit, are you getting me, that the plans and purposes of God become evident in our lives and becomes a blessing to people. A lot of us are trying to pour new wine in old wine skin. You are still stuck in methodologies. You are still stuck in old ways of doing things. They know we are the orthodox. This is how it has to be. But Jesus said that new wine skin, new wine must be poured into new wine skin. Glory to God. If not, it will be ruined. Great revivals can be ruined by wrong systems. Great, and I believe that God is anointing people afresh with new dimensions of graces. Are you getting me? In ways, what we have seen now is not all there is to see. There's still more. There's still more. Can I speak to someone? There are dimensions to ministry. I'm speaking to some pastors. This is not the only way church is done. This is not the only way meetings are held. I'm speaking from my point as a pastor. Is that okay? And when we are stuck in tradition, you discover that prophetic words begin to come, new things, heaven is pouring forth into us, is releasing things, yet our wineskins are frustrating those things. And then you begin to wonder, this thing had great prospect. Great words were spoken. How come nothing is happening? Is that with new wine comes new wineskins, new containers. And guess who gives us those containers? God. So as we receive these ideas from God, we should know that God is not stuck in tradition. Glory to God. He's not stuck in tradition. So what are these containers? These containers are the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now give me verse 6. If you give me the Passion, it will be excellent, you know. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, if I can get the Passion, it will just be beautiful. But meanwhile, I'll be reading from the New King James while they put up the Passion. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature. He says, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery. He says, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. Hallelujah. Are we together? Tell your neighbor, follow the wisdom of God, not the trend of men. Hallelujah. Even if something is trendy and you say, oh, this is the current industry trend, before you follow that trend as a believer, I mean, listen to the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost is not always, please put up the Passion, amen. The Holy Ghost is not always going to move in the direction of what the world thinks. Like in the pandemic we're in. Yeah, thank you. Amen. People will be asking questions. So what are we going to do after this? Do you know, if you go on those social media platforms, there's been hundreds of what you should be doing. How many of you know what I'm saying? This one will come and say, right now what you should be doing is this. You know, and everybody's speaking as an authority. Some will come and say, No, don't do this. In fact, this is where the world is headed. So, if you're a smart person, you should start doing this. Now, there's nothing wrong with observing the indices. There's nothing wrong listening to those things. But you know what those things give to you? Knowledge. Knowledge is not the same thing as wisdom. Don't confuse them. You could be very knowledgeable about something, but it doesn't mean you're operating in wisdom. And the Bible says, you know, thank God the Passion Translation says, however, there is a wisdom that we continually speak of when we are among the spiritually mature. It's wisdom that didn't originate in this present age, nor did it come from the rulers of this age who are in the process of being dethroned. Next verse, verse 7. He says, instead, we continually speak of this wonderful wisdom that comes from who? That comes from God, hidden before now in the mystery. It is his secret plan destined before the ages to bring us into what? Into glory. Good news. God has a plan. Listen, God has a plan to bring you into glory. One of the things, for example, the Nigerian economy, they are saying, you know, the oil prices are falling and people are saying, oh, Nigeria might become a failed state. Nigeria will become like Venezuela. You know, there are lots of things being said. But you know the truth. God has a plan. God has a plan. It's his wisdom. And the Bible says that plan is destined before ages for our glory. That means the plan of God is a victory plan. The plan of God is that in all these speculations, you are coming out on top. You are coming out glorious. You are coming out beautiful. Listen, we're not going to be a failed state. There are still things that can come out of that crude. Whoever thought of glass coming from sand? Maybe children played with it for years. People had knowledge of sand. But it took wisdom to be able to bring something out of that what? Out of that sand. What is innovation? When they talk about innovation, I was talking to someone. What is innovation? To innovate means to introduce something new, or to do what? To make changes in an already established thing. So we talk about innovation, we're talking about bringing what? New things. We've never seen this before. I saw a car recently online and I shared it with my brother, and he was saying, Pastor, is there really a car like this? I said, this car is real. It's already here. It's not whether. See, that's innovation. That's an innovation. Are you getting me? Something new is being brought. But that's not all to innovation. Hello? Innovation is, you know, and when we talk about innovation, then people always think about innovation to mean to bring an entirely new thing. Innovation also means improving a way a particular thing is done. That means you can look at something and improve on it. And for those of you who are into business, who are business folks, innovation could be how to make things cheaper and easier to use. Remember the days of Turiya? You know, when you, this was satellite phone back then, if you held Turiya, you know, it was like you're going for war. But someone innovated. How can we still have this same thing doing what it's doing faster? Am I talking to someone? And smaller. And then cheaper. So those are all parts of what? Innovative ways of doing things. But this is what I want you to see. Hallelujah. Our own innovation, you know the advantage we have? The advantage we have is that the Holy Spirit knows how to innovate. He has a secret plan. God has a secret plan that is ordained to lift you from where you are to where you need to be. You know, the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 14, as many as are what? Led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So we were not designed as Christians to be led by our minds. We were not designed by Christians to be led by... Are you with me? I'm not saying don't use your mind. You get the difference. As Christians, we use our minds. Of course, I use my mind. But I am not led by my mind. Because I'm not a mind. I'm a spirit. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. He says, don't lean on it. Don't depend on it. He didn't say, don't use it. He says, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. Acknowledge Him. Then He, acknowledge God. Then God will direct your path, not your mind. Glory to God. And the place where God plants His wisdom and His plan is not in our minds. Get me? He plants it where? In our spirit. Then our minds interpret them. Then we use them. Go to that 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Glory. Go to that 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 8. So tell me what God has a plan. The question is, can you trust the plan? Do you have faith enough to rely on God's plan? Why am I saying this? Because when you see the wisdom of God and the plans of God, sometimes it might look crazy. And if you're the kind of person that always wants to make sense, you might not always be in faith. Because the Lord will lead you in seeming ways that might not go in line with what everybody is saying or assuming. Let me give you an example. When Joshua was about to take the first city, this was when the children of Israel were now possessing the land. They've been in the wilderness for 40 years. Follow now. They've been in the wilderness for 40 years. The generation that left Egypt died. The generation that Joshua was leading were born where? They're born in the wilderness. And it's now time to take over. They didn't really have military experience. And the city that they were going to take over, Jericho, or where the Jerichans were, Jericho was the most fortified city. History has it that Jericho was so fortified that 7 horses could ride on the walls. No one that Rahab's house was on the wall. Now, if you're coming from the background that these people were coming from the wilderness, with no, in quote, military training per se, you know, one of the things you'll be working hard at is to train the people. And nothing wrong with that, are you me? To train the people, to get the soldiers ready so that they can learn to attack. But guess what? God appears to Joshua as he's putting his face down and praying and asking God, I know the kind of people I have, and I know what I'm supposed to do. How am I going to do it? And the word of God came to him. In that Joshua chapter 1, if you read from verse 5, and God begins to tell him, be bold, be courageous. He tells him not to fret. Then in verse 8, he tells him that this book of the law. Now that book of the law there, I'm not going to go into that today. It's not talking about the law of Moses. It's talking about the word or the law that illuminates. He says you will meditate upon it day and night and be careful to observe to do all that's written therein. Are you with me? Then thou shalt make your way, what? Prosperous, and you shall have good success. Joshua 1:8. So the question is this. What has meditating in the word got to do with bringing down a wall? Is somebody here? But listen, that's where the wisdom of God is hidden. The wisdom of God is in his word. You must have knowledge of God's word to access the wisdom of God. Is somebody with me? So as a Christian, in this whole pandemic, can I ask you a question? Have you sat down to go into God's word and ask, what is the plan of God in moments like this? What has scripture said to do? Other than washing your hands and sanitizing your hands and wearing face mask and do what you want to do. I have no problem with that. But is that all God said you should do? Have you gone to God's word and you've asked God from your word, what is the plan in moments like this? Or you are hooked onto every Instagram live waiting to hear what the experts will say? Listen, nothing the experts say is bigger than what God has said. No, you didn't hear me. Nothing is bigger than what God has said. Jesus said, to what will I liken a wise man? In Matthew chapter 7, from verse 24 to 27. He says, I'll liken a wise man to a man who did what? Who built his house on the rock. He says, when the winds and the waves came, that house was standing. And a foolish man is one who is too in a rush to find the rock and decides to build on sand. Listen to me, those houses were built in the same place. And what is happening right now is that where you are what you are building upon will determine what tomorrow will be like. So if you're just building on what this person said, I was listening to this person, he said, I was listening to that person, this person said, if that's what you're building on, that building will last for only as long as that person's statement lasts. But if you get into God's word, that's why he uses the word to dig. To dig means you need to spend time. You need to get into God's word. I was praying and I said, Lord, the epidemics in the world, what happened? Well, I don't know. I don't know what you're expecting. I'm not saying this is a personal study. Are you being? And I was led to 1 Samuel, the last chapter of 2 Samuel. And, you know, it was interesting. God told David, not to take a census. You know, Israel are not allowed to take census. They are not allowed to take stock of the number of people they had, so that when they go to war, their trust will not be in the numbers. But you know, David called his chief of staff and his army general Joab and said, "Go and count. I want to know how many people we have in Israel." And Joab said, "I don't think this is the right thing. God will always multiply our influence and whatever we have. I don't think it." David said, "Do it." So I think they spent about 8 to 10 months counting people. And after counting people, they brought in the figure. I think at the end of the day, the strong men that they had, he had an army strength of about, 1.3, because they counted 800,000 and 500,000, and he had about 1.3. Rather than being happy, he was sad because he felt guilty. He knew that this is not what God asked him to do. Don't ever take a census. I'm the one that fights for you. I can win battles with 300 people. You know, God has shown that repeatedly in his word. But here he was doing what every other person does. Before, while he was feeling guilty, the prophet Gad, who was like David's spiritual advisor, came to the house and said, "This is what God said I should tell you, that because you have decided to put your own comfort, your own faith in your strength, choose between these three." OBJ, are you getting what I'm saying? So he said, choose between the three. 3 years of famine on the land. David said no. He said, number two, 3 months of your enemies chasing you. David said no. He said, option three, 3 days of epidemic. I know what David said. He said, okay. I'll rather God deals with me. No matter how he deals with me, he will show me mercy. But if he leaves me into the hands of my enemies, they will never show me mercy. So let God deal with me. So option three was selected. 70 people died in less than a day. 70,000 people passed on. I said, wow. I can understand that, because if you see all the reports going on, you can understand. 3 days. In fact, if you read, I think the Message translation says, it was allowed. It was not uttered by God. But when I was reading, I said, do you know God protects us? If God's hand leaves us, listen, the devil will unleash terror on this world. That's why there's anybody who should take sides with this God. You know, there are things we enjoy, we don't even know we're enjoying. But this is what really got to my heart. At some point, David now saw the angel coming to visit Jerusalem. I think that was the capital. And he saw it in the saw the angel standing just ready to unleash. And David lifted up his voice. And God sent the prophet again and said, look, David, go and offer a sacrifice. And the Bible says David ran to the field of a man by the name Arauna and said, look, I want to offer a sacrifice, a burnt offering and a peace offering. And the man said, look, take my land, do whatever you want to do. Offer the sacrifice, anything that will stop the plague. If that's the vaccine, offer it. Oh, but David said something. He said, no, I will pay for it. Because I don't want to give to God a sacrifice that will cost me nothing. And the moment I read that, the Spirit of God just dropped in my heart. Arame, in moments like this, your seeds should be going out. Your sacrifice speaks for you. So what were you doing? I was getting the wisdom of God from his word. Now, if you go and meet someone and say, in the midst of this whole coronavirus, why not sow a seed? Some of you get offended because you want to build on sand. But I have seen something from God's word. Do you get what I'm saying? There's something I've seen from God's word that has given me a plan. And listen, that's why I said it's personal. It's not something I'm sharing with everybody. But I know exactly there are certain things that I'm going to be doing after this whole lockdown. When we come out, I'm not locked down in any way. In fact, I'm enjoying my life. I'm not locked down in any way. I know what to do. And I have a plan right now from God's word on what to do and how to step into those things. If they announce tomorrow, or they announce this night, that listen, the lockdown has been lifted, everybody go about your normal day, I am not going to struggle to get back into the system. I know where to be. Amen. For my family, for ministry, I know where to be. Amen. I didn't hear you say that, but that's the truth. Amen. Glory to God. So get into God's word. Get into God's word and get the knowledge of God's word. What is the plan? What has God said? Fear not. Amen. Don't believe the systems over the word. And if you're not digging, tell anybody, it's a time to dig. Now it's time to dig. It's not, you spend this lockdown locked up in the word. Get materials that can feed your spirit. Are you with me? Until you begin to see. Because God's victory plan is in the word. Say amen. You see, that's innovation. That, you are going pro. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8. Let me share this. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 8. I draw out some things and then I hit on some points and we close. Now, verse 8 says, can I still have the passion? You know, I'm a passionate person. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8. He says, which I will be... Okay, yeah, good. We have it. No, that's verse 7. Can I have verse 8? Yeah, good. He said, none of the rulers of this present world order. See, none of the rulers, please, of this present world order understood it. For if they had, they would never have crucified the Lord of shining glory. Are you with me? That means the wisdom of God, hello, is not with the rulers of this age. The wisdom of God, the plan of God ordained for your glory is not with the rulers of this age. It's with the church. Amen. It's in the Christ. Amen. Too often, the world, the church is always looking to the world to give it direction. But I believe that this time is going to be different. The world will be looking up to the church for direction. Amen. Because the wisdom of God will be shining brightest. Amen. And when I talk about the church, I'm talking about you. See, these are the days when pharaohs will be seeking Josephs. It doesn't matter where they've been. The Bible says the rulers of this present world order, there's a world order. The Bible says they didn't understand it. Go to verse 2. They say if they understood it, they wouldn't have taken the step they took in crucifying the Lord of glory. Then verse 9, quickly. That is why scripture says, things never discovered or heard of before. Things beyond our ability to imagine. That means there is a threshold of imagination. When you tell people, imagine, think positively. There is a threshold of what? There's a place where your mind cannot go beyond. But the Holy Ghost can go beyond where your mind can go. He says, things beyond our ability to imagine. These are the things God has in store for all his lovers. Like Aramel. Listen, that means when this world comes to a place and they are saying, I don't see this, I don't know how this is going to happen, I don't see how Nigeria is going to come out of this, I don't see how this economy is going to come out of this. Guess what? The Holy Spirit is saying that they reach the threshold of their what? Imagination. But God has something in store. God has something in store. In whatever sector you have found yourself, people might be confused, but the Holy Ghost is seeing something that nobody is seeing. And everybody is speaking from what they can see, speaking from what they can understand. But the Holy Ghost is going deeper than what they can see. And the Holy Spirit is saying, look. There are things never discovered. Things that have never been imagined. I'm going to bring them to you. Amen. Verse 10. Look at verse 10. Why? Oh, Marakatu. He says, but now. He said, but God now unveils those profound realities to us by the Spirit. Amen. Profound what? Realities. Like those of you in Benue, there is more to Benue than limestone. And there is more to limestone than cement. Amen. Nobody has seen it, but there's more to it. There's more to it. Somebody said, how come I don't know? That's what we're teaching. You need to cooperate with the Holy Ghost. He's the innovator. Amen. You only have to be too intelligent to miss God. Because the Bible says the world in his what? In his wisdom has not known God. That is, if you can lay aside your intelligence and be totally dependent on God, you'll be amazed at things that will come out of you. See, God is, it's only God that takes a stammerer and negotiates national treaties. It's only God that says, shout and walls will fall. Imagine you dancing in your house and yet things are happening outside. It's only God that connects those dots. That's the wisdom of God. Praise the Lord. Don't know about it. I'm getting excited here. He says he unveils profound realities to us. Yes, he has revealed to us his inmost heart and deepest mysteries through the Holy Spirit, who is constantly exploring all things. Listen now, what does that mean? I don't have to work too hard exploring things if I can discipline myself to listen to the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Spirit is constantly exploring things. Do you know he's exploring this economy? He's exploring that field where your business is. The Bible says he's constantly exploring. He's constantly exploring. And as he's exploring, who is he planning to give all the solutions to? To you. That is why we must be a spirit church. We must understand that we are spiritual beings. We have a Holy Ghost to lead us. You see, let me tell you, after this whole thing, you are going to hear of all manner of things. Some will even say the new line is just artificial intelligence. Listen, there are things that people will be running away from, and the Spirit of God will be saying, come, this is where I want you to go. I know that artificial intelligence is going to be on the increase. People are going to invest money into AI, are going to do a lot of that. Nothing wrong with that. But I'm saying that if you are moving in that direction, it should be the Holy Ghost moving you there. Even though you could say, look, come back. Come and invest into this place or move into this area. Consider this place. Consider this place. I remember I was listening to Crefo Dollar some years ago, and he talked about how people were investing into technology, and there were people all around him, you know, dragging him, come and invest into this, invest. He said, while he was praying, the Spirit of God said, you should invest into fish. In fish production. Some of you are already even laughing, I'm sure. You see, but God knows where the glory is. He has a plan. That's the wisdom of God. Thank you, Lord. So, three things the Holy Ghost will do for you as you go through His Word. He will give you hindsight, He will give you insight, and He will give you foresight. And if you have these three, you lead. If you have these three, are you getting me? Just like the sons of Issachar, your brethren will be at your command. What is hindsight? Amen. It's your ability to look into what has been before and observe patterns and sequences and be able to draw insight and project the future. You hear this in secular arenas. Are you with me? Listen. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9. The Bible tells us that there's nothing new under the heaven. How many of you know that? This is not the first time there's been a pandemic. If Jesus tarries, this will not be the last. There is nothing, hear me now, there is nothing that is a man's experience under the sun that has never happened before. I was talking to some people on our way from Abuja. We were just coming to Benin, and I was sharing with them in the car. I said, look, we are the ones who think of time in a linear fashion. So for us, it's one event after the other. You got up this morning, you prayed. That's what I want to believe. You know, I know some who don't believe in devotion. Nothing wrong with that. Some say, no, you must not pray when you wake up. That's under the law. May I remain under that law? Are you getting me? But you wake up, you pray. I prayed. At least I talked to God. I read my Bible. And then I dressed. And then I came to church. After this service, I have other plans. I have things I'm going to do. It has to be one event after the other one. That's how time unfolds for us. That's not how God perceives time. Before God, that having my bath and dressing up and what I'm going to do after it has already happened is all in front of Him. Why am I saying this? So that there is nothing that happens in the future that takes God unawares. You know why? It has happened. God is not viewing life based on how we view life. And most times, your spirit man can live where you are and do what some people call time travel. Have you ever had this experience where you feel events happen and you feel like, I've been here before? Some people call it deja vu, right? They say, no, this thing has happened before, I've been here before. Because that's how life is. It's a space-time continuum, man. We're not bound by this wristwatch. So there's nothing new under the heaven. And most times, follow now, when you get into a past event, you can gain useful insight into how things are done. That's why people document things. The reason they document it is so that they can have hindsight. They can go back. Okay, when this happened, what was done? How was it handled? What are the things we can learn? And how can we correlate it with this current situation where we're in? Now, scripture, because it's an element of wisdom, scripture tells you how to handle situations. And what do I mean by that? The word of God will give you divine hindsight. You don't need to have an experience to be able to have understanding of a particular experience if you read the word of God. That's why there is nothing that man is going to experience that has not been captured in one experience or the other in the Bible. If you are in a house where you've been troubled, you've suffered, or people have betrayed you, you can see betrayal in Joseph. And you see how he handled it. That's why Romans 15 verse 4 tells us that everything that was written was for our sake, so that we, through the comfort of scriptures, will have what? Will have hope. So when you read scriptures, there is an experience in scripture that gives you an understanding of where you are. That's why the Bible reads you. Is it that you tried something and you failed? There's an experience in scripture. You are married and this is what happened. There's an experience in scripture. So the Bible is a living history. Are we together? Now, is the Holy Spirit now, as you go through the Word of God, hear me, it is the Holy Spirit that knows the experience of Scripture that gives you an understanding of where you are. That's why when you read the Bible, you can see your life and you will know how that person acted and you will know what to do. See, the Bible is powerful. The Bible is powerful. Scripture is powerful. You know, it's from Joseph's life you will discover that you can't do much being in Potiphar's house. You need to be in Pharaoh's house. And that if you have a dream, God will always be orchestrating your path in the direction of that dream. You know, when I was one day I was studying the story of Joseph, and you know what the Spirit of God told me? He said, Arame, your dreams are powerful. Never allow anyone to steal them. He said, they might steal your coat. They might steal your garment. They might throw you into pits. They might lie against you. But one thing you never allow people to take away from you is your dream. He said, why? He said, because all your life's experiences are tailored towards the direction of your dream. Where did I see it? In Joseph's life. You know, Joseph always dreamt of being in Pharaoh's house. True or false? Even as a slave, what kind of slave trade has bought him? They tied themselves to kings. Whose house was he working in Egypt? In Potiphar's house. Potiphar worked where? In Pharaoh's house. Everything you see is tailored towards Pharaoh. Even when they lied against him in Potiphar's house and threw him into a dungeon, which particular cell was he inside? The cell where Pharaoh's angry, where he drops his prisoners. So he was even a Pharaoh-like prisoner. You know what I'm saying? It's his dream that was attracting all those things. So no matter what happened, keep your dreams alive. That's hindsight. So as I'm looking into scriptures, I can locate myself in scripture. Even Jesus, when he was here on earth, he opened scripture and found the place where it was written. As a believer, you should be able to locate yourself in scriptures. Not just moving around and asking, well, what are we going to do? How are we going to do this? No. Concerning this business, where am I in scripture? The needed wisdom of God is there for you. If you see that this is how it has happened, it means you can tell how it's going to end. That's why scripture gives you hope. Say amen. How did God solve problems in scripture? The Bible is applicable to every person. Did you get that? Genesis chapter 1, quickly. I have 7 more minutes. Let's make it good. Now, Genesis chapter 1, verse 29. I want to show you something. A principle in God's word. Genesis 1, 29. And God said, see, I have given you. Somebody say, see. That word see there is revelation. It's not to look. Because you can be looking and not seeing. But scripture says, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Can I ask you a question? If you read that scripture, you can see different things. Some people will see food. Some people will see face of the earth. Some people will see what? Herbs. Others will see trees. But what did God say you should see? Seeds. That means when you hold a fruit, when you finish eating fruit, what do you have? Seeds. What do we do most times with our seeds? What did God say you should look at? Seed. What do we like throwing away? You just went through a bitter experience. You didn't learn anything. You threw away. Now that you're out of it, you couldn't tell. What did I learn from this? What were the seeds that came out of this experience? Or you even had a good experience. You know, that's why sometimes people share testimonies and they think that God is haphazard. I don't even know how it happened. You might not know how it happened. After it happens, you should know, you should learn one or two things from how it happened. There are patterns and sequences in miracles. It's not so that, I'm not saying that the next time you're trusting God, you will box God. No, it only helps you to have what I call hindsight. And Luke chapter 8, verse 15. What does the Bible say? That the seed is what? The word of God. The seed is the word of God. So the word of God will present you insight, will give you hindsight. You go back into scriptures, you begin to see things. A lot of us read the Bible. Allow the Bible read you. Amen. Number two, insight. Insight. Insight, understanding. What is insight? Another word for insight is understanding. Paul prayed in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 15. He said, well, since I heard of your faith and your love for the brethren, I seek not to make mention of you in my prayers, that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ will grant unto you what? The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. What was he saying? God will grant to them the spirit of what? Wisdom. Wisdom is a spirit. You know, in Job 28, we will not go there. Job kept asking, where is wisdom? He said, I know where to find gold. I know where to find silver. Are you with me? I know where to find this. And what he was doing was he was lightening wisdom. Oh God, you are my help. He was lightening wisdom to precious things that have to be sought. Because wisdom cannot be found on the surface. Knowledge can be found on the surface. Wisdom goes deeper. That's why you can have knowledge and not be wise. See, you can't find wisdom in books. It's a spirit. You can get knowledge from books. And this is where most young ministers miss it. You see a man who has been in ministry for 40 years, 50 years. Just because you now have a... you now have a tab that you can download free Hebrew and Greek concordance. Are you with me? When the man is talking, is teaching, you are dissecting the Rema. Are you getting what I'm saying? You are saying, no, that is not exactly. You discover that, haven't you noticed, young people have knowledge. They know things that even some of these older pastors don't know. But when it comes to practical application and getting things done, those people know some things that produces the result. That thing that produces result is wisdom. That wisdom, you can't buy it. And that's why I love to listen to older ministers talk. You know, I was the other day on Instagram Live, I was watching Pastor Pojo and Papa Deboe. And he asked him some very... I know the answers look like very simple things. I said, no. For the man to be listening, this is not Rema. This is not about whether This is not a question of synesis or parakletos. This is not Greek and Hebrew words. The man was saying very simple things. You know, holiness. I kept thinking. And when a man who has been in ministry for close to 50 years tells you that holiness is a key part of his success, you need to calm down and listen. Not saying, no. You know, in Christ Jesus, the Lamb has been slain. Are you getting me? Well, this thing doesn't matter. Something matters. Wisdom. Knowledge, the Bible says, puffs up. So you can read many books. Why do people read many books and still struggle with marriages and divorce? Meanwhile, your great-grandfather who did not read any book, I get the other than the fact that he had one missionary preach the gospel, he stayed with his wife for 60 years. For 65 years. It's wisdom. And that's what Job was saying. He said, even if you get the finest of gold, you cannot buy wisdom. In Job 28:28, look at Job's conclusion. So what then is wisdom? You know what Job said? Wisdom is to fear God and to shun evil. When I saw the answer, I said, wait, Job, all these things you have been saying, you say the answer to wisdom is to shun. I said, no, then that means there must be something he has understood. Hallelujah. What did Solomon ask God for? Not knowledge. You can buy knowledge in books. Are you saying Solomon as a king couldn't buy any book he wanted to buy? Or couldn't pay for anybody to come and talk to him? It's not knowledge he was looking for. He was knowledgeable. He had been in the courts. He had stayed with his father. But what was he asking God for? When God said, ask one thing I'll do for you, he said, give me what? Wisdom. Wisdom is insight. What he was asking for is insight. That means when there is a situation, Calibrato, when there is a situation, I should be able to see the reality. I should be able to see beyond the facts and the figures. And that's why the moment they brought that child and those women were arguing, no, this is my baby. Let's kill this one. Let's kill that one. Let's keep this baby. He said, look, bring a knife and divide this baby. When you say, it must be the mother. I know now when you read this one, you say, what is hard in that? If you were in that situation, you'd be sweating. Because you'd have read all the law books, how to the jurisprudence behind such issues, and you will not know exactly what to do. So knowledge is not it. Knowledge is good, but wisdom will go in the direction of knowledge. Am I talking to someone? That God will grant you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. I've seen younger pastors. You know, when you see a pastor who is pastoring for some years of coming down, you say, look, don't worry, when I enter that town, I'm taking away. In fact, you know, I will run that pastor out of town. Listen, you will run yourself out of town because you have knowledge, but it doesn't mean wisdom. And to innovate, you need wisdom. Wisdom is insight. Insight is inside. Write that down. Insight is inside. It's not on the outside. Professors can't teach it. Let me take 5 more minutes and round up. Matthew 17:27. Look at what Jesus said. They needed to pay taxes. There was no money. You think Jesus didn't have knowledge? He was all knowing. Matthew 17:27. He told his disciples, nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in the hook, and take the fish that comes up what first. He said, and when you have opened his mouth, you will find a place of money, a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and you. Hear this. Listen. Does it make sense that you need to pay tax and he says, go fishing? The natural thing to do is to ask for who will loan you money or who will help you come out of this situation. Imagine your landlord is waiting and you take your hook. They say, why are you going to say, I want to go and fish? You must have inside information to do such things. And listen, the Bible did not say his hook caught the fish. No, don't make a mistake. Look at what he said. He said, lest you offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. That means the fish came up on its own. It was not a struggle. It was not a struggle. It was not guesswork. He said, look, a fish is going to come out. Put your hook there. The fish came out on its own. Do you know you will follow Peter and go and do the same thing that Peter did and you will not see any fish? Peter knows from experience that this thing, that's not how it works. The first time he met Jesus, he was a frustrated man. That is the same way when God gives you wisdom and you begin to walk in certain lights. People might think it's a simple thing to understand. When they follow you, they will not get the results you get. You know why? Wisdom is spiritual. It's insight. That means there's something you have known, something you have seen. It becomes your DNA. Oh, thank you. I read one more scripture and then I'll stop for today. No, but before I read that scripture, glory to God, turn to Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5. But before I read that scripture, I want to read something to you. I maybe I've heard of George Washington Carver. He was a black innovator. Are you with me? He was a black innovator. I read something about him that blessed me. And I said, I'll share with you. How many of you want to hear? Now, George Washington Carver was born a slave around July 12, 1864. He was born as a slave. Hear this. He became a scientist of international renown. On January 21, 1921, are you with me? Carver addressed the United States House Ways and Means Committee on behalf of the United Peanut Growers Association on the use of peanuts to improve southern economy. I need you to understand the background. A slave, not in present-day America, addressing the Senate, the House Committee. They say, come and talk to the House Committee. If you know, you know. If you don't know, you don't know. Amen. A black man, they say, you should come and address it. He says, initially, he was given 10 minutes to speak. The committee was so captivated, his time was extended. Explaining the many products derived from the peanut, including milk, mock beef, and mock chicken, George Washington Carver stated, if you go to the first chapter of Genesis, we can interpret very clearly, I think, what God intended when he said, behold, I have given you every herb that bears seed. That means from the herb you are seeing meat. To you it shall be meat. He said, I have given you herbs. For you it shall be meat. He was able to look into peanut. What is peanut? Granut. And from granut he saw chicken. He saw goat. And he saw that it could improve the economy. So this is what he means about it. It shall be meat. There is everything there is to strengthen and nourish and keep the body alive and healthy. After nearly 2 hours, they gave him 10 minutes. They extended his time. After nearly 2 hours, the chairman asked, Dr. Carver, how did you learn all of these things? Carver answered, from an old book. He said, what book? Asked the chairman. Carver replied, the Bible. The chairman inquired, does the Bible tell about peanuts? He said, no, sir. Dr. Carver replied, it tells about the God who made the peanut. I asked him to show me what to do with the peanut, and he did. You see, that is insight. That is wisdom. That's not knowledge. That's innovation. And you can read more about him on the internet. Hallelujah. He said, I asked God. He said, I know the God who made the peanut. That means he looked into God's word and he saw something. Lift your hands up. Father, give you praise. I told you last Wednesday, there's something you are doing. The wisdom of God will come through it. Innovation is not always something new. It's another way to do what you've always done. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Mangla Pratazo. Give him praise. Father, we bless you. We honor you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. No, just thank him for his word this morning. If you have received anything, go ahead and give him praise. The spirit of wisdom is resting mightily upon you. It's coming upon you. No, that's how it starts. Open your mouth and begin to declare wherever you are watching. And say, the spirit of God is upon me. The wisdom of God is upon me. Holy Spirit, I'm yielded. I'm totally dependent upon you. I trust you. Librata zotora bakata. Lambrata zondoro shata. Lift your hands wherever you are. I want to pray for you. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the times that we're in. Your word says your path, our path as righteous men, shines brighter and brighter as unto a perfect day. And Lord, thank you for your word that has come this morning. I pray for every single person. Under the sound of my voice, the wisdom of God will rest upon you. The Holy Ghost will show you what to do, where to go, and how to go about what you go about that business, about that career, about the next level, about the next phase. It will not be a struggle for you in the name of Jesus Christ. I declare that God's word will light in your heart an understanding that will put you ahead. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
We know that you were richly blessed by the teaching you just heard, and we encourage you to give attention to every bit of it, because that brings you another step closer to amazing testimonies. For more life-changing messages like this one, visit www.christfamilyministries.org.